We have a speaker this evening. I've never had the pleasure of listening to you, but I'm anticipating hearing him. I have known him, I guess now, for a couple of years, and I spent a little time here and there recording with him. I really never spent too much personal time with him, so I can't say a lot of good things about him and then have him get up here and tell how bad he was and make a liar out of me. But he is the alcoholic rehabilitation officer for the city of Chattanooga. He is also our general chairman for the Southeastern meeting, which comes up in August of this year. And I do know from what I have seen and known of him that he is a very energetic worker and gets around quite a few places. And I know that with him at the helm, they're going to have a fine meeting at the Southeastern this summer. And so, looking forward to hearing this speaker, I'm going to turn it over to him and let him tell you about himself. So I give you our speaker for this evening, Dennis M. of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Dennis?
Thank you, Gary. My name is Dennis Mahoney. Better known as Lard. Why they call me Lard, I do not know. But anyhow, I do appreciate being here with you people. And if Gary built me up so highly, you're certainly in for a letdown, I'll assure you. I started my drinking career about the time a lot of other people did, rather early in life. And I shouldn't have had to drink as long as I did. The first drink of alcohol I took, I got drunk. I got in jail. And I found the morning drink the next morning, all within less than 24 hours. And I guess from that day until I quit, that I was confirmed alcoholic. But anyhow, I proceeded to drink a little along school days and all that. Lucky enough to get two or three different jobs, all with most of the work picked out. I went to work for Hamilton County guarding prisons, workhouses, when I was a rather early age, and I drank what was known then as pretty fair whiskey. It was just double twisted. Any of you people know what I'm talking about. It's much better than this stamp whiskey now. Some of you folks have drank some of it, I'm sure. But anyhow, I went to work in the Chattanooga Fire Department in 1937. And shortly after I went to work for the county, I was married. Out of that marriage, there were four children born. Today, if I was looking for an excuse to get drunk, I could. They don't speak to me. Grandchildren, I don't lay eyes. I haven't ever laid eyes on. And since they feel that way about it, I care less. No concern of mine at all. When I went to work at the fire department, started getting laid off those few times, 19 to be exact. I can't deny it because it's on the record. So I must have been a pretty fair drunk to get laid off 19 times and back to work on the 20th, which I've got my time in now, so as a fireman, Virgil, I can go. But anyhow, in those those times, all of my people, they just gave up on me, I reckon. Have nothing to do with me. I was sleeping around on the courthouse lawn in summertime. In wintertime, I was back at the county jail in an old car or something. But long about when I guess that I was about as low as I could get, Leah, my present wife, I met her, and so we were talked these things over, and she took me down to meet her mother and father down in Bridgeport, Alabama. Those two old people took me at face value. They didn't ask me anything and nothing else. So I decided maybe that there was still a little hope for me. They would give me money to go back to Chattanooga to go to work, find a job, and they would give me a little too much money. You take $100 to $150, too much to get somebody going to look for a job, especially a drunk. And by damn, they found it out too. About a week or so later, they'd come ask me, take me back home. They did that several times. But I got thinking one day, I said, well, those people are too nice to me and good to me. And still, my people had nothing for me, which didn't bother me. But we called one time, Leah suggested Alcoholics Anonymous to me. So we called, or I called, and talked to them, and they came to me. I was in the Park Hotel in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the man who came to see me was a doctor. He stayed there about an hour, hour and a half. And he goes back to the club room and he tells those people, someone else can go where they want to, said, I know that SOB and he'll never get sober. Well, I had one more little drinking spree after that, but anyhow, I still say he's my sponsor. He's a wonderful person. And every once in a while he'll see me and he'll say he wants to eat a little crow, which is good and well. But what I'm leading up to is this, that I haven't had a desire for a drink of alcohol since October the 11th, 1955. If I had, I'd drink it, because I'm just that hard-headed Irish. This morning we had city court. We have an attorney up there, incidentally my attorney, and this other deal, told the city judge that one of the times when I was fired, I came back to work with a green derby and a green cane and a pair of green shoes on. It was day at St. Patrick's Day. I might have, I don't remember. But I know that a lot of times that I felt like that I wanted to quit drinking, but I had no reason to quit. At least I figured it, and I still say that. I didn't have any reason to quit. But I continued on drinking. As I said there, I was fired a few times. I might tell you this, that it wasn't altogether my father, I don't guess, getting me back to work each time. Because one morning, from 12 o'clock midnight to 4 in the morning, I slipped 3 fire alarms. Made it all right on the first 2, but the third one somebody told the chief. So the lieutenant came back and says, well, old buddy, did somebody pack you off? Could you lay it off? So I reached over my boot, took this pine out, and he and I took a drink. I go straight down in the morning, down on Cherry Street at French's, which was on right downtown. I stay there the entire day. About 6:15 that night, they have a fire alarm. Well, I knew that it was the territory of number 6 engine company, which I was working on, and I knew they were working short-handed. So I goes out to help them, all drunk up. And it was what we call a booster line fire, but the time they found it, it was general alarm. It done got out of hand. So the chief of police, he started running that police department too back then. I was pretty wet. And he came up there and he told me, he says, you go down and tell that police can take you up, change clothes. I went down to 8th and Charity. You folks who've been down to our downtown group in Chattanooga, right on that corner. This officer took me up there. He said, how long will it take you to change clothes? I said, as long as it takes you to go to Five Points, get us some whiskey. If he came back up the hill, I was coming down the stairs. So we rocked along there. Someone busted out a big plate glass. I got cut and I lost about 40 minutes there of drinking, taking me to the hospital and so forth. But the next day, about 9:15 in the morning, my phone rang. It was the chief of the fire department. He says, Lord, said the commissioner said to tell you to come on back to work if you wasn't laid off for helping out that fire. So come on back when you get sober. 3 days later, I report for work. The lieutenant says, we better call the chief. I said, well, go ahead and call him. So he told the chief I was there, and the chief says, Monday Adelaide was drunk. He said, no, he's in pretty good shape. He said, let me talk to him. He says, where were you the last 3 days? I said, I was drunk. You told me to come back when I got sober. Now, this is down near the end, so they're getting tired of that. So I won't say the words I'm sure that he said, but anyhow, I went back to work. And I had the name of getting three or four of us there who were alcoholics or just plain drunk. We was a great believer in getting the fire put out and getting back to the fire hall. So we'd miss a drink, so we'd wait on there. That was our benefit, too, because some of these folks like to fight fire on the sidewalk. If we were in there, we figured somebody might have a pine or a fifth or something cutting around. So we always went through that house in a pretty big hurry. And that didn't hurt none. But I went ahead there and continued to drink a while. But then the time came when my mother-in-law and father-in-law. My father-in-law is dead now, God bless him, but they really did help us. So I came back to Chattanooga, and I called Pat Wilcox, who is Commissioner of Public Works. I said, Pat, I want a job. He said in custody, he said I was just knocking someone else out of a job. So I said, thank you, and hung up. I called his wife, Queenie. They both now have gone to their reward. God bless them, they're both wonderful people. So Queenie says, call back at 6:30. 6:30, I rang that phone. I said, Queenie? She says, yes, sir, just a moment. Old Pat come on the phone. Says, howdy. No, sir, hello. I said, howdy. He set in. He called me everything at arson, called another arson. And it wasn't any of the good, but he said, when he got through, he said, well, go on down and go to work tomorrow. I went to work on a garbage truck and brush truck combined, whatever word we hold. I stayed down there for 17 months and about 4 days. My sponsor had served on the county council, was the present at that time, Commissioner of Fire and Police. Tommy W. of Chattanooga, who died not too long ago, Virgil is named, he was very active in AA, and he told my sponsor, he says, why don't you get Dennis reinstated? He said, well, I hadn't thought of it. So I called him, Colonel Dunlap reinstated it. I went to work at the safety lane. In Chattanooga, that's where we inspect cars. The main thing is to get the, I don't know whether it cares too much about the cars, but it costs a buck every 6 months, and that goes into our salaries, I guess. We haven't gotten it yet, but I'm sure we will someday. But anyhow, then they came along here, and as we'll tell you a little about in the morning on the council and everything, but they gave me this job that I have now on August the 1st, 1966. They said that we were, when they decided to make this job, they didn't have to look around. They had the man as ideal for it, and I didn't have any idea they were going to take me. But anyhow, we have enjoyed this work. I got down to the point of, you hear so many people getting up in AA, sitting how far down they got weight-wise, down to 90 pounds, 110. God damn, I got down to 229. That was when I was carrying those. I was carrying those hamburgers around for 3 or 4 days. I got green and threw them away. I didn't eat for a long while, but I never said, I wasn't drinking that kind of whiskey to make you lose that kind of weight. And that's true. I'm not lying about that. That's the lowest I remember weighing in my life, 229. But a little bit more than that now. But there has been nothing but good things happened to me since I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. We had the pleasure of being elected delegates from the state of Tennessee at the General Service Conference. I'm sure that the men who in here have been delegates will tell you that they wish that each person in this room could serve 1 year up there. It's the most enlightening and wonderful thing in the world. I don't know how I could ever repay the AA in Tennessee for giving me that honor. It was indeed an honor. And it's certainly no play if you go up there for it, and these fellows who've been there will tell you. But and things like that, they took me from... The fact of it is, I hadn't been too long off that garbage truck. I don't know this day whether they don't know how it's smelling, but anyhow, they accept me up there. We got along swell with those people. But there's so many things that you can talk about for days and days that happen. I know that we've got pretty well anything we want there as long as we pay a little something each payday on it. And things like that we never had. There's people now that calls me in to want to sell me something on credit. Prior to 1955, I'd have walked into the cash money, they'd put me out figuring I'm going to steal something. Might have, I don't know. But anyhow, I do know that it's a better feeling now. And the people in Alcoholics Anonymous over the world have been an awful lot of help to me as they have been a help to you people. I know that tonight, this afternoon, a man here from North Georgia asked me about a fellow. We were able to take this fellow from the jail to the Star House, and he's doing wonderfully well. And these people had a reason for that because some of his kinfolks is a nurse at one of the North Georgia hospitals. She always finds room or time to help the alcoholic, maybe give him a shot or something to go in there. That's the reason that this thing works like it does. I know that things are looking up all over for Alcoholics Anonymous because of people like you people. These people believe in us now. They believe in the thing that we tell them, where normally used to they wouldn't. I know that in our case there, we've got an awful lot of people we work with. Their families, their wives and children, who it might be, are very thankful. We had a person this morning who we took a chance on. We're coming down here. They came to us and said, had him out there driving while drunk, and I want you to know that he was out there serving on the fourth time and got another one coming up 29th this month. I said, man, you ain't going to be on the ground long if you take a drink. And so he says, I still ain't going to take one. But this is the point that I'm getting over to where we're doing this. This judge took me this morning. He says, look, you want the man on the ground? We'll put him on the ground. You have to have a paper Monday. You go get it. I said, we just happen to have it here. He says, let me have it. And he signed this paper, turned this man loose, told me to be up there on the 29th and try to help him. But we're getting that now in our area. It takes a little time, and it can be the same and then all over if we can get these people to understand that we were sick people, we are sick people, and if we get out here and take a drink, we're going to be much sicker. I know that. Also, the things that has happened to me, as we were talking, have all been good. Everything. I've got people... I'll have to tell you this. Several people in this room knows about it. We had a fellow up in Chattanooga. He goes to AA in North Georgia. He got mad at everybody in Chattanooga. So he had called me. He thought some kind of SOB I hadn't been called, but that's impossible. I've been called all of them. Since I've been sober. But I see him up in court one morning, and I says, what are you doing up here? Because I got a ticket. And as usual, he was telling me about how low down this police officer was. And I said, well, don't pay it today. Let's see if we can do something about it. So I see the police officer. I said, how about this old boy here? He said, I'd left this morning in that new car and said he missed me by about 4 inches. You're on this stop seat. I said, well, that's all right. So we get I asked the judge about it. He said, yeah, we'll help him. So they made him wait till last. But he came up to see me, and I wasn't in the office, so he left a box of cigars with me for Leah. I said, my God, this is something. Then on Saturday night, they had a little meeting in North Georgia. Quite a few members here tonight was there. He got up and telling those people what a good fellow Lard Mahoney was. So then he called me. Says, well, should have changed my mind about it. And so that's what AA will do for you, see. I just happened to be up there that morning, and I would not have been there if it hadn't been for this job. Hadn't been for AA, I would have not known him either. But he is, and I firmly believe this, I think that he appreciated that more than if it had been a $50 fine or something. It's $15 and a quarter, but old Tom is not in too good shape financially, I don't guess. But anyhow, he was a, or is a friend of mine, always has been. That's the reason I say a lot of times we don't see eye to eye. Now, I can get back with more people in Chattanooga who call me those names if we can have a successful Southeastern Conference up there. Of course, they're not doing a damn thing about it, none of them, but we've got a committee of about 200. There's about 12 that attended the last meeting we had. So we're going on just like if they were all there. And that's the way it ends up, as you folks here know, if you've had anything dealing with them. It generally ends up that way. So that's the way we're going. And I told three or four people here today that I had one fellow that I was going to donate to the cause, and I'm not going to do that, though, until the 11th day of August. But anyhow, in all sincerity, we are planning and have a wonderful program planned, we think. We've got, it's not all ironed out yet. Somebody at the state committee meeting we had in Chattanooga come up and said, well, we're getting many pearls. I says, now wait a damn minute here before we go any farther. If you're going to get many pearls, you're going to pay for many pearls because we don't have that kind of money. We haven't got our printing bill paid for here yet. But then they came up with someone else. I said, well, we'll end up with getting somebody just traveling through the country or something. Don't worry about it. And we are getting something lined up and entertainment-wise. And we have a few over 300 pre-registrations. And I'll tell you that if we could go in there with about 600 or 650 or 700 pre-reservations on the 6th day of August, we'd be mighty happy. And if people in groups like this can make them, and we were told that we could say something about that. I'm glad we were told, because we're going to say about it anyhow. Because as Dave says, this got to get this cloth down on the ground where we can all see it. But in all seriousness, for you folks who have, we do have some more of them up in the room. You folks who are planning on going, and if you can, we'd appreciate you registering now, because as I said, any of you have any dealings with conventions, you know that you get a little concerned and worried there. We have, what's his name, Virgil? I didn't tell you fellas till I found out you wasn't having nothing down here. What's his name? We got Dale. Huh? Dale Starbert. We're going to have him in Chattanooga now. Or he said he would, so he's a drunk, so he may lie too. I don't know, but we'll, next week or week after next, in the next 12 days, you'll get your notices on this mailing list. We are going to mail a complete list out. You will have the speakers, the chairman, and the time they're speaking. We've waited as long as we can for that reason. I'm kind of shifting around. But we're going to get it out, and whatever you get on this next one will be official, we hope. And also to you, Al-Anon, we got the Marge M. from Carmichael, Texas. We're giving you folks the breakfast hour from 8:30 to get through. And Alateen on Saturday morning. We will have an Alateen dance same night on Saturday night, this banquet at the auditorium. There's pictures on brochures there. We haven't decided yet whether we should have the banquet down the exhibition hall, or I like the main hall, so we don't serve over 1,200 people that can serve them there. We can pull that. I tell you, us drunks had enough of these damned old posts around these exhibition halls when we were dodging them, when we were staying drunk. And if we didn't have these nice gold curtains and these low bright lights, I'm for it. So as of now, we're going to have that banquet down there where folks are. We're not going to be sitting down there where you have to look around the column here to see who's next window over there. We've got everything planned, we hope. We're not going to try to outdo anyone, Charlotte or Atlanta or nowhere else. All we're going to try to do is have the best Southeastern we've ever had. We've got a good reason for it being the 25th anniversary. This is the 25th one. Some of you may not be able to be around here to go to the golden anniversary, so I advise you to register now and go to the silver anniversary. And again, I will say that if it was not for people like you people and Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't know where I'd been. That I might have been top of the heap. I might have conned somebody out of something, been a millionaire. I'd as well have been in jail or graveyard somewhere. Hell, I ain't never decided I was no good for nothing. As long as I can breathe, I can stir up something. And I am learning some new con words and games from these people I'm dealing with now, and you can do it, believe it or not. And I thought I was the best, but they shoot some pretty good sticks there. Again, we do thank you folks for inviting us down here, and this is just a preliminary. I don't plan to make a talk, never did. I think they found out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they invited me out there in 64, and I haven't heard anything from them since, so I guess. But some of them liked it, because there's about 1,100 out there. You folks have been out there. But our aim is, in all sincerity, our life now, and I'm speaking of Leah now, our life is helping rehabilitate the alcoholics who can't help themselves. It's pretty hard to help themselves when you're in jail. And I believe that if, when we get this thing squared away, and anyone else that wants to use it, we are glad to give them everything that we have on it, how we do it, and all about it. And there's enough people now in Macon to go to whatever form of government you got and say, now look, we've been run over us long enough here now, and we don't think of putting a drunk in jail or the workhouse to get him sober. We believe in rehabilitation. Any town. There's fast, people are fast learning that. We know that in our area, we get in quite a bit, and I know there are in this area too, and all your home area, quite a bit of publicity on the radio about alcoholism, on TV. If you're not getting it, it's your own fault. You put anything you want to on there, because these radio stations in your hometown or TV station, either one, thank you very kindly for it, because they've got to have so much of that public spirited stuff for months. Announcements, spot announcements, and everything. And they'll announce pretty well anything you want. They give three or four phone numbers up in Chattanooga for us, and our answering service, and everything else. But about the only thing you can say, or anything that I've said up here tonight, I said it before everybody started squirming and looking at the watches like Dave Rahr does. So that's it. Thank you very kindly.